Mr. Martins has asked me to review for the local brethren our online presence for the purpose of outreach, whether as a venue for sharing the gospel of the kingdom of God or in participating in our journey towards the kingdom of God. So today I will be reintroducing some information shared back in early 2014, sharing with you additional details on our own local outreach, and I will include some suggestions on ways each and every one of us can count ourselves as part of a functioning body, and but both of preaching and of discipleship or studentship. So let's go back all the way to the beginning and review man's God-given role on this earth. If you'll read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and reading on through 28, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all the creepers creeping on the earth.' And God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. He created them, male and female." There is no distinction. All made in the image of God. Verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the heavens and all the animals that move upon the earth.'" So God designed us and purposed us to have dominion over the earth. Our job was to maintain what God had created. What actually happened, though, and as witnessed in Genesis 3, was that we relinquished our authority over to the God of this world. Even though we did not intend to, we almost immediately became slaves to what God defines as evil works, simply meaning any work we labor to produce is inherently based upon a mixture of the knowledge of good and evil. Nevertheless, we were designed to labor to produce fruit, as it were. Labor to produce a work or a product. Our design was to produce only good works, not mixing with or being replaced by bad works. In Ephesians 2:10 we read, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." We, he is speaking of, are the saints, right? We have been converted, and here we are reminded by Paul to the church of Ephesus, you are now created for good works, not a mixture. Of course, we've always got to improve on that, but that's what we are created for. In the Gospel of Mark, after Jesus was resurrected, triumphant over death, he gave to his disciples, and we are also his disciples, a great commission. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" This commission was given, and then we see how that was carried out in all the New Testament books after the books of the gospel. We can read in Acts chapter 28, verse 30 and 31. "Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him." Colossians 3:16, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So first we hear in Acts of Paul preaching the kingdom of God. In Colossians, Paul is encouraging each of us to admonish one another, encourage one another, use psalms and song, singing hymns, even if it's just with a loud, loud voice. Doing that together for one another. And then in 2 Timothy, he gives Timothy, an elder, some advice, which we can all apply in our lives. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. This is a significant responsibility of the elders. But we do this with our families. We do this when someone asks for our help and we encourage them in certain ways. We tell them the truth. We don't beat around the bush. We try to help our brother as we would want our brother to help us. The United Church of God, an international association, has taken this commission very seriously and has made a special effort to put in writing our mission and our vision as a church. Bain and Company provides a succinct definition and comparison of these two types of statements made by companies around the world. A mission statement defines the company's business, its objectives, and its approach to reach those objectives. A vision statement describes the desired future position of the company. Elements of mission and vision statements are often combined to provide a statement of the company's purposes, goals, and values. However, sometimes the two terms are used interchangeably. In the case of the United Church of God, we distinguish the two with the following descriptions. You can read these on the website. Our mission is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, just as Jesus had told us, in all the world, to make disciples in all nations and to care for those disciples. So not just giving them the information, but helping them in living it, helping each other in doing it. Our vision, a church led by God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together by what every member supplies, each and every one of us, with all doing their share and growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose for humanity to bring many children to glory. Let's take a moment to review the context of Ephesians 4 and Hebrews 2, which were referenced in that vision statement. If you go to Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16, and he himself, that's Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry or service, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And then this is the scripture that is referenced, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now you will notice it talks about unity, but it is unity in the Spirit. And that Spirit is of God, and it would never, ever go against the Word of God. So unity has a value to God that is based only on God's way. So now we'll transition to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, we read, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Take our place. For it was fitting," and this is the reference in the vision statement, "for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren." There's that unity again. All of one. "Saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am. Here am I. And the children whom God has given me." Fleshing out the verses of the UC vision statement reveals a powerful theme of unity via godly means to a godly fulfillment of that unity. So, referring back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, when we become converted, we take on the mantle of good works, not a mixture, but just good works. And the opportunity for doing good works abounds for each of us. As Solomon concluded in Ecclesiastes, "The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments." And of course, we know by now that everything we think and do hangs on that law, which in all its details is summarized to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love each other as ourselves, to love our neighbors. Matthew 22 and verse 36 reads, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it." Not substandard, but like. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. For how do you love one more than the other when love is pure? If you love God with all your heart, do you learn to love your neighbor in the same way? For instance, because God loves you with all his. He loves me with all of his heart, so shouldn't we learn that same love for each other? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Sure, we have the opportunity every day and week to obey the Ten Commandments. I included the week for the Sabbath day. And we can think of all the laws that hang from those laws, which by we can and must strive to obey. But as the church vision statement includes, this helper, the Holy Spirit, we have the opportunity to do a good work by, for instance, with that Spirit in us, blessing the man who cuts us off in traffic. I am having to learn that one all the time. Or even if that man or woman is trying to destroy our reputation. You could refer to Luke chapter 6 and verse 28. "We do a good work when we give to the needy." Matthew 25, 34 through 36. "We do a good work when whatever our hand finds to do, we do it with our might," as long as it's something good. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. And the list could go on and on of the good things we can do. So we know from the Word of God that each of us has a role to play in preaching the gospel and preparing a people. However, as members of the body, we can struggle trying to figure out our place in this body. We know to do good works in our life. We understand that. We work to love God and our neighbor. But we aren't sure where our talents lie in service to the body of Christ. Specifically, we may know what our profession is, know how to do it well. We may know how to raise our family or love our family, but what is it we do for the church? What do we do for God? You see, the church is designed to be more than just a resource for instruction. I'm giving you some instruction today. Okay, that's not what it's all for. It has two other important functions. It must, one, prepare its people to become good examples by the power of the Spirit of God. This means that the church must be a proving ground for the instruction provided. She, the church, gives opportunities within the body to practice doing good works toward one another. And two, the church, the body of Christ, must preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to the world as a witness. There is an outreach that is extremely important to God that we fulfill. These are functions of the entire body. Not just the preachers found in the body. It's not just the feet of the evangelists that carry this precious gospel from place to place. Let's transition now to how our church reaches the world with the gospel and instruction for its own people, and how this little congregation makes an effort to do what we can to help. Great advancements in communication have been made since the establishment of the new church, covenant church, of which Jesus is our head. We can find examples in the New Testament where instruction was given from a boat on calm waters, directed to the shore, or on the top of a hill, or by making use of an amphitheater. These are natural forms of amplification so that more people can hear the words of the truth. Letters were written to brethren. Carriers of the gospel would travel from town to town and house to house to share the truth with others or to encourage each other in the faith. With the invention of the printing press, this allowed for the word of God to reach many, many more people, and various other works of literature were published to aid in Bible study. Electricity opened up a vast new world for communication, both in being able to carry communication in 1876 and amplify sound in 1912, to carrying sound and images to far-flung places via radio, 1920, and television, 1928. But now we have the internet, the official birthday of which was only just back January 1st, 1983. I was 16. I'm just a little over 16 now. And the internet had become firmly established by 1995, with Netscape Navigator, a browser, being the most popular web browser at the time, having over 10 million users. Globally. All of these avenues of communication remain in effect in our modern day, but the amount of people reached in any given year finds its apex via the internet. Now, back in 2013, when I gave a similar message, I shared with this congregation this chart, but for that year. It was provided from 2012 and reflecting changes since 2000. So that was a 12-year span. This table is based on 2021 from 2000. So now we've got a 21-year span. Since 2012, not 2000, 2012, world population, right here, my mouse isn't working there. There we go. Right here, this is the recorded world population in 2021. It has increased by 800 million since 2012. Almost 1 billion people. Africa has gone from a 16% of population internet usage to 43% in that time. Asia, 28 to 64, Latin America, 43 to 76, and the Middle East, 40 to 75%. Growth in internet usage since 2000 is highest in Africa at a measly 13,000%. That's a lot. Then the Middle East, 6,000%. Latin America, 2,700%. Asia, 2,300%. Worldwide internet usage has gone from 34% of the population in 2012 to 66% in 2021, essentially doubling. North America remains the highest penetration region. What that means is how many people in North America, not just the United States, use the internet. It was 79% in 2012. We were just kind of getting going on internet use, you know, locally promoting internet gospel, as it were. Well, it's now reached 94%. Statistically, if that was 95, there would be 100%. No matter how you slice it, we should not neglect to share the gospel with the world via the internet. We have also learned that it can be an excellent tool for building up the brethren, all of us, keeping us connected to each other. If anybody happens to remember 2020, 2021, some people could not meet except that they met online for church, for fellowship, for Bible studies. Our emphasis as a church using the internet as a communication system to help us in our commission ramped up in 2013. That's when we had the new website developed. And thusly, our own local websites were redone. Following is a run-through of UCG Northwest Arkansas presence in the internet. So I didn't have time to go through all of the international stuff. We'll just go through our stuff. The official United Church of God Northwest Arkansas homepage provides our main source for preaching the gospel. It's our main public source for establishing local church presence, arguably our most visible presence on the internet. Hopefully this will come on. Okay, it's there. Good. This is that page, and this is a live feed, and all of you have probably been to this page several times. We use it to let people know where we're located. The key features of this site, our local site, is this subheading right here, where we can show posts. Our calendar events is very important. Lets people know when we're keeping services and where, and if there's a change, it'll be here. So just simple calendar events. We can feature our sermons that are local. It's a page just devoted to United Church of God in Northwest Arkansas, which shows they're not really, I don't think they're actually the popular sermons. It's a random presentation. If I were to reload the page, suddenly the popularity would be somewhere else. But some quick featured sermons and then or messages, and then you can go and see the latest over here. And you can always click more and see many more. There's a little bit of... There we go. Back at that time when that web page was developed by the church, we were developing our own. And with Mr. Martin's advice, we chose a website named Sabbath NWA. We wanted to feature that we keep the Sabbath, and NWA was often used in Google searches, various searches for Northwest Arkansas related things. So the idea was it would be an easy way if someone's looking for a church that's in Northwest Arkansas or just curious, if they type in Sabbath and Northwest Arkansas, it might get them in there. It's a locally managed homepage. It's customized to our congregation's personality. It has the potential to utilize localized talent for local outreach. And we've done that before. We've not been using it much lately, but we have that capability. It's there. An excellent platform for featuring other social media as well. So this is what this particular page looks like when you reach it. Now this should show, if it's working properly, there it is. That's like a little widget that features our Facebook page. And so as our Facebook changes weekly or every in the middle of the week, if someone comes to our local page, they see change. They see new information. It also provides our location, just like our official site. It announces when our Sabbath services are. At least the directions. Again, it features our YouTube sermons. This doesn't take them to a reference to the church site, but what we have on YouTube. And so whatever was the latest is featured, and then below it are the next ones in order. It tells people when the webcast is or where it is. It would actually refer them to the official website for webcasting, which I failed to show you. We have written articles in the past, short articles that we've tried to reach out locally. We've got some by Mrs. Sani. Mary Jo, I think, is in here somewhere. Yeah, Mary Jo right there. And one thing that can be useful about this particular area is we could write little articles, short articles, that are based on local news events or local happenings or local sites where we can draw some spiritual guidance or encouragement or thankfulness or whatever instruction that is based on our area. It could be a good news event or bad news event. It could be a social event that's happening in the community. Who knows, bikes, blues, barbecue, you know, whatever. Something that features these things that people are familiar with in our area, and we can introduce them to something scriptural, something Christian, and it will be on our local site. And this doesn't really work very well anymore. It was based on using Adobe, and they've quit offering that as a use. There is a substitute for it that works on some browsers. It won't work on this one, but if we were to go to one of these, I was publishing years ago crosswords and word finds that were scripturally based, and you can still download a hard copy and do it at home. But it used to be able to do it right there on the website. It was really cool. Got to get used to some of this. We also have a Facebook page. And it's our most productive social outreach to date. It's excellent with being a real-time source for social interaction, whether sharing sermons, seminars, memes, etc., even announcements. And it's our best resource for localized advertising. If a sermon gets posted 1 week, we could spend $5 or $10 or $20 or $1 million and just advertise in our vicinity using Facebook. You can pick a 10-mile radius or a 50-mile radius. And so all of the advertising would be shared locally, which would, again, be an encouragement for people to visit our local congregation. Now, most of y'all are familiar with this, right? The Facebook page. So I won't go much into that. But we do have, Well, let me go to a user instead of a administrator. Oh, that's interesting. It's not... There it is. So Mr. Sandy gave a message several years ago. That was one of our popular messages on YouTube. And so what I've been doing on Thursdays for Throwback Thursday, pound TBT, if any of y'all are familiar with that, is I will take those older messages, and many of them need remastering, especially if they're older. I've got better software now. And I've remastered this one. And then I uploaded it to an alternate video hosting service. And there it is shared. Okay. And it's, you know, it's had a comment. It's not showing how many. Must not work on this browser. Someone's left a comment. But keep that in mind as we go forward. We also use, as our main source for video hosting, YouTube. It's our primary site for publishing videos. It's got very high quality video hosting for absolutely free of charge. And they have superb analytics, which helps those of us who are keeping an eye on things, seeing what people are reacting to, responding to. It's very good for that. And so just real quickly, we have a feature video that introduces them to our church and what we believe. And then it shows the latest uploads, the popular uploads. And then we have the opportunity to reference other sites we're interested in. So we share other Church of God YouTube sites for people to click with, to very conveniently. So I just, not this past week, but the week before, I got a little notification from YouTube, and it gave me a little information about what happened in December, and I was actually kind of surprised. Got 11 new subscribers, over 2,500 new views, which could mean they looked at it, clicked it for a second and moved on, or they could have looked through the whole thing. But then it said 44,000 watch minutes. 44,000 minutes of our messages were watched in that 1 month alone. There are sites that we have created because of... The last couple of years have made us a little bit aware that possibly we could get picked on for being Christian. You know, possibly we could be called hate speechers. Any number of things that could happen. And so we've created some intentional redundancy, repetitiveness. Okay. The remaining websites have been put into place as a backup. Also to reach additional people, because some people will be on this media and not that media. It's just unique people. And sometimes we'll feature information a little differently. One of the video hosting services we have chosen to this date is called BitChute. It's an alternative video hosting site for redundancy and potential expansion. Since censorship is growing, we might someday need a backup video hosting site. It's presently featuring our most popular sermons hosted on YouTube. So the history of the most popular on YouTube, those are the ones I re-upload to BitChute in the order of their popularity. And what's interesting about BitChute is sermons get seen almost immediately. Now keep that one of Mr. Sandy's in mind. Here he is. In 2 days, we've had 85 views. Okay, now we don't get tons of views on BitChute. It's a smaller community. We're a special group of people with the gospel. There's not necessarily a ton of people always looking for the truth. But very quickly, in a couple of days, we got 85 views. That doesn't necessarily happen on YouTube. And so over here, we have on this side the most recent, and then over on this side, the most popular on BitChute. Just in December, this is just an experiment. In December, I went ahead and signed us up for Rumble. All that we're doing on Rumble, it's another, just an alternative. I have not done anything with it except to upload our little introduction video, which is all words, and sync with YouTube. So it's bringing over videos from YouTube at its own discretion. It doesn't seem to be in an order. And so we have a list of videos on there right now people won't get an empty page when they see it. Now, we're not getting a lot of views. Interesting, we've already had 185 Rumbles. I still don't understand Rumble. But I'm guessing people can do it more than once. It's like, you know, anyway, we've got 185 Rumbles. And so you can look through it and see what has been uploaded. One other social network we joined back in 2020 was MeWe. We have learned that during times of social stress, Facebook has the power and will to censor free speech. As the instruction of the Bible has come under attack over the years, wisdom would tell us to consider our options. So in 2020, we established this presence. MeWe is a good alternative to Facebook. It's not as good, but it does not have the advertising capabilities that we can and have used on Facebook, can use and have used. Nevertheless, it is believed to be a social media website that will not interfere with the historic meaning of free speech. This site is fully redundant as possible with the Facebook site, so I will post twice. There's no live demo for this because their website is incompatible with this software. So what can you and I do in relation to our web presence? These are recommendations based on interest and ability offered to explain their value. I'm not trying to recruit. I'm not trying to get you to do something. I want to show you what you can do. Okay. Simply interact on social networks with godly disposition. That's hard, but very important. This is us. You know, I'm on there. What am I representing? And what do I say? And what do I do? And what do I believe? And do I show that I care? Participate in church posts with various acknowledgments. Facebook and YouTube are critical here. Now, Facebook over the years, the way they measured value of a post has been changing. And I think they're leaning more towards who's giving them the most advertising dollars as opposed to what is organic. You know, but truly it is very simple. If you liked a message that was given locally and you see it posted to Facebook, hey, give it a like. If you can, give it a like or even leave a comment. It doesn't have to be profound. You know, I enjoyed this message. These little things that you do, and if you can, share it. If you feel like your friends list won't go crazy, if you share it, all of these factors influence what Facebook's little robots are thinking, and they might think, well, we need to show this more. More people will see it. I've experienced this with a sermon I promoted from another minister in another location just a few months ago. It went crazy because people participated in it, and it got passed around and shared. Very important. It's very simple. And if you don't understand how to do that, first of all, if you're not on there, don't worry about it. I'm not telling you to get on this and do it. But if you are at all, I'm here to help. We can figure this out. It can become simple. I mean it. It really can. Use skills you have that adapt well to the internet. Verbal instruction. We're like right now, people are hearing us, some of us speak. Written instruction. Some of us have written articles. Technical maintenance when we're doing church services. Those are all related to the internet because we're webcasting right now. You may or may not be connected to the internet, but whether you are or not, each of us can and should contribute in other ways that relate to preaching the gospel and preparing a people. Because even though the internet is by far seeming to have the most outreach, it's not the only way. It's just a way we don't want to neglect. So be present and accounted for. That's one way you can help. Be present. In Exodus 12 and 20, Deuteronomy 5, and Leviticus 23, the Lord commanded that we rest on the Sabbath day and that it is a holy assembly, a gathering in the presence of God. He also clearly takes ownership of the Sabbath day as his day of rest. And we are reminded of this precious gift in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. That's a word for encouragement, to do the right thing. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Secondly, serve physically if you are physically able. Church planning, food preparation and service, church services set up and take down. And of course, you know, speaking to the choir, all of y'all are helping out so much. But for anybody else that would be hearing this, these are ideas that where you can help at church. You can be giving instruction or song leading or public prayer at the discretion of the pastor. Also, provide words of encouragement to members in ministry. You know, it's great we come to church and we can be, could have had a rough week, and it's nice to be able to unload, right, on our friends, on our brethren. That's nothing wrong with that. But how much of my time do I use saying, hey, how are you doing? You know, how are you feeling? How can I help you? In other words, don't just tell people, you know, someone will come ask me something and I'll just start telling them about something. But do I remember to then ask them in return? Do I then just try to understand them better? See what they're going through in life and see if I can encourage them in whatever their endeavors are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9 through 13 reads, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." You know, Thessalonica was like, we're like them. He was encouraging them to do this, but they were already doing it too. "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." You can also pray for God's will in providing avenues for sharing God's word and the proclaiming of the kingdom of God, as well as protection of those who are engaged in such work. And Mr. Martins has brought this up several times in the last several weeks. And we can refer to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "Finally, brethren, pray for us." This is Paul asking for prayers, "that the word of the Lord may have free course." You've heard Mr. Martins say free course. "And be glorified, even as it is with you." and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Finally, give generously of your time and resources for the building up of the brethren and for the preaching of the gospel. Jesus gave us an excellent lesson of what it means to give in Mark chapter 12 and verses 42 through 44. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." So when I speak of generosity, I speak of generosity of the heart, even as this widow gave. I'm sure this widow, he wasn't saying this widow was now going to go hungry and die because she gave everything she had. She gave everything she had for that day or whatever. You know, and it was very little. Meanwhile, other people had plenty and they didn't give everything they had. God wasn't requiring them to. God would be pleased with what they gave. But in comparing the two, he was extremely pleased with the one who gave everything she had. And this can be of your time. You know, I was just thinking of an example that we would be familiar with, the little one. You know, let's say you want to watch a movie at the theater. It costs money. It takes at least 2 hours of your time. Now, you just might, on occasion, say, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to forego that movie. I'm going to take that money. I'm going to send it to church. Or I'm going to take that 2 hours of time, and I'm going to spend time in prayer that I don't normally spend." It's a use of time or money or both. Just a little idea of how we can use our time in promoting the gospel just by giving our time and our resources, if available. Good works are in progress throughout the churches of God all around the world. These works are accomplished by the way we treat each other and even by what we keep in our minds to ponder. These works are accomplished by our godly behavior with brethren and towards family, friends, and strangers. Today's presentation is intended to introduce and reintroduce ways you and I can participate in the mission and vision of the church. And it's a reminder that we can do much to help in the sharing of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Our prayers matter to God, not that he needs you or me to pray for others, or else God won't pay them any attention. Like, okay, if you don't pray for people, God's going to ignore them. But that it shows God where my heart is when I pray for them, where your heart is when you pray for them. It is the responsibility of the ones who are doing those works. They have a responsibility to also pray to God, to let him know they are submitted to him and want his protection and his will done. But it is up to you and me to show God we care about what they're doing and how they're doing it, and that we desire our God to watch over them. For certainly what God's servants and messengers are doing is an extension of us, all fitly joined together as one body, whether they preside over the body, present on Beyond Today TV, or produce jelly episodes for our youth. Let's turn to Romans for a final scripture. Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. I put my water over there, but I'm at the end. I'll make it. So we, the many, are one body in Christ, and each one members of one another. Then, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So our unity is not in the gifts. Our unity is in the belief in the mission. If prophecy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry in the ministry, or he who teaches in the teaching, or he who exhorts in the encouragement, or he who shares in simplicity, or he who takes the lead in diligence, or he who shows mercy in cheerfulness. Please continue to prayerfully consider and evaluate your role in the body. It is something we need to take time to do, because it doesn't matter how old we are, there is something that we can do. The body at large, and also locally. So we can be thinking about what we can do for the whole church and also locally. All of us can face feelings of inadequacy, fear of failure, the temptation of pride, to one degree or another. And maybe based on the specialization we endeavor to pursue. But if we will seriously contemplate our role in the body, I believe each and every one of us can do more to participate in the mission and vision of the Church of God. This is, again, letting God know that we're thinking about it. And
is that for me? Well, thank you.
So now I can get in my last sentence. Water can taste good. I've got two slides. Hearkening back to the role of God, the role that God gave to mankind back in the beginning, he designed and created us to be in the image of God. God worked and still works to prepare mankind to enter his family. By design, God created us for good works, and as his saints, he has equipped us with his Spirit to achieve those works, resulting in everlasting and priceless value. We all have a role to play, and we have a great opportunity in it. If we had gone to Revelation, we could have seen some of the admonitions and corrections to some of the churches. We could lose our first love, and we don't want to do that. We could be complacent, just thinking we're doing just fine. Each and every one of us should evaluate those things all the time. Make sure. I get discouraged at times, maybe for the right reasons sometimes, maybe not. But discouragement isn't good. We've got to turn back to God and ask him for help, and how can I participate and help the church? Help in the preaching of the gospel, whatever are my resources. So let us all be moving forward to the kingdom of God.